Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. In case you haven't discovered, my voice is a little out of whack this evening. For some reason, I don't understand. It just started getting progressively worse this evening. But nevertheless, we're going to try and bring you a very good show tonight. So thank you for once again joining us. And I am very excited about tonight's broadcast, and I trust that you are as well. So we're here live, and we're going to be here, and we're going to bring you a great show. So we're also going to have my co-host that's going to be joining us. She's back. And we're very happy about that. So she's going to be joining us momentarily. Now, I want to go ahead and take this opportunity and mention to you that we have the publication that's out. It's called Your Half-Hour Inspirational Publication, and it's available for $5 a month, $4.95 a month. And to get a complimentary copy, just simply go to online at drjessewalker.com. And ask for a complimentary copy, and we'll be more than happy to send you that. So there you have that. Once again, now you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. And excuse me, we're going to be on the air tonight for the next 60 minutes. And we've got a great show planned for you tonight. I am so excited. It is part one. We're going to be joined by a couple of people. One will be hopefully our featured guest will be tuning in very soon with us, along with my co-host. All right. Last week, you may recall, we did a show about, our shows are always about relationships, but last week we did a show, and I want you to go back and take a look at that show and see if it's a show that you really can benefit from. I trust that you can benefit from every show that we do. We get a number of calls from people that are very excited about the various shows that we put on. And I'm always excited. So, I'm always excited about doing these shows. I do apologize for my voice not being fully here tonight. I do apologize about that. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can in between sipping some hot tea while I'm on the air with you to try to bring a good delivery for a great program. All right, so we'll still be able to take your comments. We'll certainly be able to take your call. And we're just waiting for my co-host to join me momentarily. All right, also, my book is out there, After the Passion, Now What? You can go to my website online at drjessewalker.com and take a look at the website, and it certainly is there, and we're certainly looking forward. Okay? All right. So now, if you have something new that I'm introducing here this evening, if you have a question or comment about relationships, send me an email at online at drjessewalker.com. If you have a topic for a show, we'll try to even get that out there as well. So So once again, send a comment. If you have a comment, if you have a topic, if there's some question that you would like to get some type of answer or response to, we will do our very best to try and get that information to you. I'm sure between my co-host and I, Ms. Audrey Blake, we should be able to find something. Speaking of Ms. Blake, we're going to go ahead and bring her right into the studio. We're so happy to have her back. Ms. Blake, welcome back. It's nice to have you this evening. I apologize for my voice.
That's okay. How you doing, Dr. Walker?
Well, you know, I've had, I don't know, my voice just started going out today. Yeah, it's one of those rare things, you know, you wake up this morning and you're feeling fine, and as the day progresses, and I haven't been around anywhere, any smoke or anything like that, so I really don't understand what may have happened, but nevertheless, I'm sure I'll be fine. How are you doing, and welcome back?
Well, thank you. I'm doing great. I just took a little hiatus there, but as always, I can tell that we are going to have quite a discussion this evening.
Yes, we are. I am so looking forward to it. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our featured guest for the evening. Ms. Blake, just before I do that, tell our listening audience, in case there have been some new people to come on board, a little bit about you. We know that you're the author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, and your organization, FLY, and how to get in touch with you, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. I am an author as well as a motivational speaker and a certified life coach. And to find out more about the services for our organization, which is called FLY, Fostering Leadership in You, we help you soar, you can go to our website at www.fosteringleaders.org, or you can give me a call or send a text at 770-866-2162.
Okay, and you are available for bookings. You did say that.
Yes, definitely for bookings and coaching and just a whole lot of things. I guess you and I are both multifaceted.
Yes. I am very proud of Ms. Blake. She has a lot going on. She's very well qualified to do all of those things that she mentioned. A certified life coach. That is very impressive, and I'm so happy to have her as a member of my team with the Dr. Jess Walk Show. We're going to go ahead now, Ms. Blake, and bring in a featured guest that's becoming quite popular. She was on the show last Friday night, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, so last Tuesday. So we're going to bring in Ms. Linda Tsai. Here's another author, and she's the author of a children's book. I interviewed her over the air on that Friday night show, the half-hour inspirational program. Her book is entitled Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? She's the author of this book. It's quite a catchy title to it, and I read the book, and it's quite impressive. So Ms. Linda Tsai is joining us now. Ms. Tsai, thank you so very much for joining us, and I introduce you to my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake.
Hi, Ms. Tsai. We are delighted to have you back on our show this evening.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
All right, Ms. Tsai, before we get started, why don't you tell my listening audience a little bit about you, a little bit about your book, how anyone who's interested may get in touch with you, and your web address, of course, a phone number, et cetera, et cetera.
My name is Linda M. Tsai. I am a retired teacher of Miami-Dade County Public School, but I'm also a global evangelist for the Share Him program out of the Carolina Conference out of Charlotte. I've been going to Africa for 10 years, and I used to solicit for funds to assist for my trips. But I was impressed by the Holy Spirit.
10 years.
I've been impressed by the Holy Spirit to get a project that would help fund my trips. In 2005, I wrote a book called Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? I wrote it down in Uganda. And this book is so impressive because there's so many young people and our family members that are dying, and the family members are still not comforted after the death of their relatives. So that book was written to comfort and to give inspiration and growth to them that there is hope beyond the grave. You are able to purchase this book at the ABC in Miami Springs, and then you can purchase it off of Amazon.com. My telephone number is 786-488-6469. I'm also a motivational speaker, and I'm also doing book signings at any church that will have me. Do children go to heaven when they die?
Okay, excellent. We're going to, if any of the callers out there have a question or comment, just before we go to the night story, of course, just press one and we'll entertain that. Let's see, I think we may have someone else on our line. We're going to go to 305-785. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Welcome this evening.
Hi, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm interested in hearing your show. I'm just clicking in. I'm sorry. And I don't know exactly what the story is about, but I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, please stand by. And, we'll come back to you to see if there's anything you'd like to say. Just stand by with us. Are we going to go right now to the story? Are you all ready? Ms. Sy, Ms. Blake, are you guys ready?
Oh, very ready.
Very ready.
Okay. Tonight's characters are India and Jimmy. And once again, I apologize for my voice this evening. Thank you for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. So please stay tuned, and we thank you for that. India, just like the country, India and Jimmy, both in their mid-30s, were married for a little over 8 years before they divorced. The reason for their divorce, according to India, who filed for the petition, was due to the fact that Jimmy cheated on her several times with the same woman. Now, after forgiving him on a number of occasions, she decided she could not take it anymore. So she packed her bags and their two small children and moved in with their mother. Now, for some reason, India has become so bitter with her situation. I'm getting some static in the ink here. Let me just see if I can. Okay, that's going to work. All right, now for some reason, let me go back. Okay. All right, for some reason, India has become so bitter with her situation and disappointed in marriage that she has allowed herself to become sexually promiscuous. Her underlying belief is that what's good for the gander is good for the goose. In other words, if men can do it like this, then so can women, she felt. In fact, India has gotten to the point where she does not care about what anyone has to say about her life. She is clearly hurting from the divorce with her husband and now feels she only needs a boy toy or a few of them. She feels she can survive this rat race of life by not becoming attached to any one man. Now she feels she will do what she thinks most men do without the emotional attachment. Now India is enjoying her life with multiple sex partners without feelings of regret, remorse, or any guilt. That is for now, anyway, despite her mother's efforts to tell her she's off track with her lifestyle. Now she insists it's her life anyway, and she should be able to do as she pleases. Okay. Question is, that we start out with tonight, do you really think this is the answer for India to begin a promiscuous lifestyle? This question and others, hopefully we can bring some light on it tonight with my featured guest and, of course, my co-host. This is all coming at you right now live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. And tonight's topic is your body open season for multiple sexual encounters, part one, starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Well, I think that a mouthful was said, and let me start by going to my co-host this evening and asking, Blake, what do you think? Do you think, in reference to that questionnaire, do you really think that this is the answer to India to become a promiscuous lifestyle? Do you really think this is the answer?
No, it is not. But it's not unusual to see this type of behavior after a divorce. You can have a variety of responses to divorce, particularly when there's been some infidelity or unfaithfulness involved. But no, it's not the answer.
It's not unusual. Okay, let me go to my future guest, Ms. Linda Fry. Do you see that, do you find this to be unusual for marriage, divorce?
Well, this world is in a tizzy. And instead of trusting God for the answer, many people rely upon others. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things should be added. And if we would trust him for life answers, when a person is broken, they go to other broken people to try to get answers from them. But you have to come to somebody specific to be able to heal and restore when your marriage breaks apart. That is not the answer, to seek multiple partners, to try to silence your spirit because you're hurting. The best thing to do is either to pray, but if you're not a praying person, it may be good to go to a therapist and get the help you need.
This is open mic, so I think not more than just going to.
All right, let me go here and touch bases with, let me go to 305-684. Who do we have on the air this evening? And welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Dr. Walker, this is Jimmy. This is India's ex-husband. And I just got a comment. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. You know, I meant to give that disclaimer out there that if the name, if there's a name, we do that in my publication. But you know what? I meant to give that disclaimer out there. If there's any names that sound similar, it's coincidental, and that's all it is. So give us your name, sir, if you don't mind.
Tim out of Orlando.
Okay, Tim out of Orlando. Thank you for joining us. Tim, do you find it to be unusual for, here India has said that what's good for the gander is good for the goose. If men, she feels if men can do it, why can't she without the emotional attachment? Do you think anything wrong with what she's saying?
It's a lot wrong with what she's saying, but I have a theory on the reason why people do that, and it's common. Once you get a divorce, you start spreading it around everywhere because a lot of people feel after they get a divorce, they feel like the reason they're getting a divorce is because nobody wants me. So I'm just going to start spreading it around and make everybody want me, in a sense.
Okay.
Men do the same thing.
I think you were starting to give a thought, and somehow or another we got an echo, and I had to mute that person out. You may not have finished your thought, and I do apologize for that. Go ahead and finish your thought. And do you think that, as Tim has said, that when it's common, that when this happens, people are trying to spread it? Do you, first of all, think that that's common? And if so, why would people want to spread it like that?
Because you have a lot of women and men, they have low self-esteem. They don't feel good about themselves. And I do agree with what Tim said, that they want to be able to spread it around so they can feel wanted. They've been rejected, and they want to be needed by someone. But the greatest person that can need them is having a spiritual partner. And instead of trusting in him, they'd rather trust in someone else rather than trusting in the God that gave them life. You know, we're living in a world where there is so much brokenness, but we want completeness, and that completeness can only come through connecting yourself with someone that's spiritual, and that person is God.
All right, let me ask this question. Let me go to 305-785. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, this is Melinda. Hi, Dr. Walker. I was listening to part of what you were saying, or your guests were saying, and I think it is common with being in a relationship or just leaving a relationship that you want to get back to your friends and to the relationship that you had to grow closer to others that gets your mind off the one that you really love. However, I can't see that actually ever happening. It's just you don't ever forget your first love, or maybe sometimes you're not your second, but it's just common to always want to, you know, be around someone that you think can help you get over that next person. So I agree.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by.
Dr. Walker.
Yes.
Yeah, you know I'm over here.
Yes.
Because one of the things One of the things about me, as my listeners, our listeners know, is that I just keep it real. I definitely am a very deeply spiritual person, have been all my life, but also I'm very real because, we frequently hear the, just pray about it and it'll heal everything. And as we get older in life, and our relationship progresses, for those of us who believe in God and Jesus Christ, we do get closer. But here's where I'm going. When that person is hurting, when they just come out of a divorce, particularly if they felt some kind of betrayal or rejection, the gentleman who came on the line, Tim, is absolutely correct that people do that because they are looking for somebody to validate who they are. Now, that sexual partner cannot validate who you are. But the thing about it is, because as I coach people, I keep it very real. We have to start where people are. And if that person is feeling rejected and like they're not worth anything, then you have to start right there. I also love what the Ms. Sai said about seeking a counselor as well.
Right.
And Dr. Walker, can I?
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to comment on the not being validated. They are validated for just that moment. And after that moment is over, then they realize, you know what, this is not what I really wanted.
Right.
But they go right back into it again because it's like, okay, I don't feel like anybody wants me. So I need somebody to feel like, you know, make me feel like I'm needed or I want to be wanted by somebody. So they grab whoever is closest to them and they do whatever they need to do to feel wanted at that moment. But it doesn't
really. No, it doesn't. That's why go ahead. I think everybody's making a good, valid point. And as my co-host said, and I tend to agree with her, you know, it seems when we're going through something, especially something where there's an emotional attachment or has been an emotional attachment and we haven't healed from that, people tend to have a tendency to lean towards the practical elements of life. You know, the natural things, you know, as opposed to those spiritual things. It's easy to say, let's just pray about it, but then it seems that your answer is not always going to come. And, Messiah, I'm going to send this back to you in a moment, but it doesn't always seem that your spiritual answers are going to come. It seems, you know, and it seems that those things can take time. But in the meantime, and I guess that's where you'll say trust and faith comes in, but when you're hurting, not everybody is at that same level of strength that someone that's gone through it and went through it maybe 10 years ago, not everybody's at that same level of strength. And that person who went through it 10 years ago may not have been, you know, did it that way themselves. Go ahead, Ms.
Walker. You have to think of it like this. Even when you have a person that is an alcoholic, he's going to have to come to terms that I have the problem. So we have to come, everybody has to acknowledge I have a problem. If you went into a 12-step program or a 5-step program, the fact is, whether it's spiritual or otherwise, you have to acknowledge I have a problem and then try to get help for your problem. So you have to trust somebody. If you can trust your daughter.
Certainly you do, I agree, but it's a matter of timing. And I think Tim mentioned that, you know, you're trying to find someone. The practical element says you're trying to find someone that even though you're validated, but you don't feel validated, as Ms. Blake said, you're trying to find someone, and sometimes you pull a person that's close to you at the time to make you feel wanted, to make you feel like someone wants you. Ms. Blake, go ahead. I'm trying to
hear
my voice.
I guess you're hearing my vibes over here. If India was my sister and I saw that happening in her life, I would not go to her saying, girl, you need to straighten up. Jesus, you know this is not what God wants. I do a lot of intercessory prayer. And the other thing is I just spend time with India. Hopefully she wouldn't avoid me. And I just try to do things with her and constantly tell her her worth and her value. And she may not be hearing me initially, but that's going into her subconscious and her psyche. And pray for her so I can get her to the point where she turns back to the source, which is God. because I know that preaching at her, India's going to be like, forget you, girl. I'm going to do me.
Right.
You know.
Okay, that's what, and the story shares that here, where her mother was telling her, India, you're off track with your lifestyle. But India, her defense was, well, you know what? It's my life, and I should be able to do what I want with my life. You know, it's my life, and I should be able to do as I please. And so that is her defense. I love what you said, Ms. Blake, when you mentioned that intercessory prayer, praying for her, spending time with her, showing her her worth. And I think that those are so valid points. Ms. Sy, how important do you think those things that Ms. Blake mentioned are, in fact?
Those things are extremely important because you can't do it by yourself. And you have others that really care about you, that can
pray for you.
You have others that can care for you and pray for you. I have friends of mine that have problems in this area. And when it comes to this, not only just intercessory, you have to seek God by laying out prostrate because there are strongholds where Satan is working in. And you need this spell broken. So I do agree with her, but you're going to have to pray deeply by fasting in prayer in order to be able to get her to the point of just acknowledging.
Okay. Let me ask this question here. Tim, let me direct this at you. Do you think her concerns, meaning India's concerns about avoiding an emotional attachment, is the right way to go? Because now she has three partners that she's sexually involved with, and she's doing that so that she doesn't become attached to any one of them. Do you think that that's the right answer?
Not getting attached to them, to any of them?
Yeah. In other words, she's saying what she feels men can do. A woman, if it's good for men to do it, why can't a woman do this? You know, so she's trying to avoid an emotional attachment to any one man. So she has three partners now that she's sexually active with. Do you think that that's not the right way to go?
No, that's not the right way to go, because if she keeps herself emotionally attached for them, she's never going to be able to get that emotion back to where she wants to have somebody. She's just going to continue to see different people, and keep her feelings bottled up and locked up. And next thing you know, she'll have five or six different sexual partners because I don't have any emotional attachment to anybody, so I can do whatever I want to do and with whoever I want to do.
Jim,
Dr.
I can agree with more. Yes, go ahead.
Dr. Walker, it's gonna give her even more emotional grief because it's going to give her a great amount of guilt by indulging in a sexual relationship. She's trying to find happiness. She's trying to find completeness. But she can't find those things. And she can find sorrow. She can find disease. There's so many things attached to what she's involved with, and it's going to bring great despair.
Once that sexual act is over and she's alone, that guilt beats her down.
Somebody, your phones are going in and out. But let me say this here, and then I'm going to bring this Blake in. Yes, I think Tim may be alluding to say this, and I'm going to give him a chance to clarify. But once that sexual act is over, then perhaps she may feel something there that, okay, I did this here. But as she persists with this act, with this behavior, then there's going to be opportunity where less and less she starts to feel any guilt. Because remember now, in the story, it tells us that there was no regret, there's no remorse, and there's no guilt at this time. I think the guilt and all of this remorse and regrets will come down the road. But go ahead, Tim, and then I'm going to bring this Blake in.
And that's what I'm talking about. Then she's going to eventually start seeing more people, and she's going to have four, five, six different sexual partners, but she don't have any. She's not going to have any guilt. That's why she'll start seeing more people, and that's not going
to
be good.
Okay, and this also can cause someone to become so cold in a new relationship, a meaningful relationship down the road. Ms. Blake, I'm going to let you touch on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about it is, like, she's not feeling guilt, but I'm going to my favorite thing, oxytocin. You know, the human body releases a hormone when there is intercourse, when there's sex, and there is a bonding that occurs. And I've had a lot of conversation with lots of women and quite a few men on this topic. And the thing about it is men seem to have this ability to, for lack of a better way, hit it and quit it. Women really don't have that ability because that oxytocin bonds us to men. The other thing is we are just by nature nurturers. So we can't really be that cold and heartless for an extended period of time.
Okay, but what I'm saying here is I understand when you mention that factor, but what happens is down the road, oftentimes, even with men, they can find themselves in a meaningful relationship, but because of the promiscuity that they've encountered and that past lifestyle, it is very it's difficult. And Tim, I want you to speak to this issue in a moment. It becomes very difficult to have that same emotional attachment that you had when prior to your being so devastated and going through that promiscuity. It becomes very difficult, and a person can actually be cold in their meaningful relationship and not even be aware of it. And Ms. Sy touched on something close to that earlier when she said we're like an alcoholic. The term is, people are in denial, and they don't realize it. And then your partner, your life partner, can say to you, why are you being so cold and unemotional? You know, that can happen. That is a reality, and people don't realize what they're doing, that they can be destroying their own relationship. Go ahead, Tim, and then I'm going to go back to Masai.
I totally agree. People can become so emotionally attached, and when it does get to a meaningful relationship, you do tend to push that other person away or just and not even know it, not even know that you're doing it. And you'll miss out on a good person because of that. And
you certainly
I can only tell you this. Only thing you can do when you have a relationship that break up like that, time is the only thing that heals that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that. You have to take time to try and get over that person before you can jump into another relationship. That same thing is going to keep eating at you. That same person that just did whatever they did to hurt you, you're going to feel like that other person, this new person is going to do the same thing, so you're not going to give them that chance to do it.
Right. But before we go to Masai, if you don't mind, this comes to several chapters in my book, Falling in Love with Me, because this is the very topic that I speak to in the book. And I talk about the fact that when you get out of a relationship, whether it's a marriage or a dating relationship, just as you said, Tim, you have to spend that time alone. That's the best time. You can't just go from one relationship to another. Dr. Walker, you say it all the time. You take you with you into the next relationship.
Right. Take you with you to the next relationship. And you're so right, Ms. Blake. And people fail to realize it. And you know, even equally as bad is a person who takes you on knowing that you've just come out of a new relationship or a fresh relationship and you haven't had a chance to purge from that relationship. They're gambling at high risk. Speak to that, Ms. Blake, and then we're going to go to Ms. Sy.
They really are, because that person is not whole yet. They're still hurting. And they are bringing all of those issues into the new relationship. And chances are that new relationship, once that newness wears off and it doesn't take long, will fail.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a great chance, a greater chance of failure in that relationship than there is for the relationship succeeding. Ms. Sy, let's go to you. Give us your thoughts. But we do know that Ms. Sy is likely to say, with God, all things are possible, and I believe that. So there may be the minority situation where relationships will outlast. But will the heart
agree with them, Dr. Walker, because I think that what needs to happen, they need to become whole
with
Christ.
Ms. Sy, your phone is going in and out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. They need to become whole with Christ. And they need Christ to heal every empty spot in their life. What has happened here, they have tried to make themselves complete by going out finding different partners. And the only one that can make them complete is Christ. Even if there's a partnership with a mate. With Jesus in the family, there's a happy home. But how can Jesus be in a family when you're committing fornication or committing adultery and then asking God to bless it? That's sacrilege. What we have to do is ask God to heal us so that we can become the good wives and the good husbands that we should, with the good qualities, so he can build us up. So I do agree with them.
Okay. All right, let's take another question here. Ms. Blake, you mentioned earlier, I love what you said about if India was your sister or a relative, that you would spend time with her. You would do an intercessory prayer. You would tell her her words. I love that. I think that that's one of the best things that we could give a person.
Yeah.
Tim, let me go to you and ask that question. What is it if India were a relative of yours, what advice, if any, would you give to her?
The same thing. The same thing. You do as much talking and letting her know that she's worth more than anything that happened, to keep pushing her self-esteem up, because once you get in a situation like that, your self-esteem, it lowers. Because you feel like you did something, and you can be the innocent person in it, but you feel like you're the one who did something wrong, and there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Okay. All right. But in addition to that, I think also later down the road, after you have gone through this, there's going to be a self-esteem issue that comes back, and that's from that guilt. See, a lot of times when we do something, every act, this is just my humble opinion, every act that we perform, everything that we do, there's going to be a consequence, whether favorable or unfavorable. And so with a person being out there performing promiscuous acts like that, down the road, you can be assured there is going to be a consequence that affects your spiritual being, that's going to affect your flesh, that's going to affect you as a human being, and your self-esteem is going to be affected by that. Ms. Blake, let me go to you. You're into mental health as well, so give me your thoughts.
My background is also public health. And so one of the other things I would do with India is, yes, I wouldn't beat her over the head because no one wants to hear that. I pray for her. But I also would remind her, like, because I keep it real, okay? I'm like, are you using protection? You know, I don't justify the sin, but no need to kill yourself in the process. And because I know the devastating effects of unprotected sexual intercourse, whether married or not married, I would ask her that. If I know she is not monogamous, then we talk about that. And I give her the stats. I wouldn't beat her over the head with it, but I just keep it real with her.
Okay. Ms. Sy, is there anything, in your opinion, based on the story, is there any validity in the way India is thinking? Any validity? Is there anything that she's thinking, I mean, what's good for the gander is good for the goose? I mean, is there any rationality to her thinking?
Well, you have some people that become very vindictive. I want to get you back for what you've done to me. But I see here what you said, Dr. Walker, and I want to go back to that. There is a consequence down the road to what you've done, and to get her to think rationally is not only to intercess with prayer. Some of these incidents can only work out. Some of these things can only work out by fasting and prayer.
Okay, we're getting technical difficulties on her end. And I know that was so important. She wanted to bring it to us. Perhaps we'll come back to her.
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Start over with what you were saying, please.
I was saying, I said I thoroughly agree with you, Dr. Walker, that there's a consequence that one will have to suffer as a result of making that choice. And a lot of times people go into this because they become vindictive. You know, I want to get you back for what you've done to me. And there is a consequence. But in order to be able to nurture her, not only to intercede for her, but you have to fast and pray because the devil is working here. And that spirit has to be broken. And the only one that can do that, even though you may be talking and encouraging, is intercession and fasting for God to intervene and to bring it to an end.
Okay. All right. My producers are letting me know that we're going to forego the food for thought tonight, and we will bring that in part two. This is part one. If go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Oh, go ahead, Dr. Walker. I can wait.
Now, I was just going to say, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Our topic tonight is your body open season for multiple sexual encounters, part one. We're joined once again by my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. And also we have the author of a children's book, Ms. Linda M. Tsai, Do Children Go to Heaven When They Die? That's her book. She's going to also be joining us on next week for part two of this program, and we're going to also have some other featured guests joining us as well. Ms. Blake, go ahead. You have a comment.
I was just going to say part two, we can talk about it off air, but I definitely would love to see part two take on the tone of from the male point of view, because we've alluded to it in the story already, that men do it all the time. And I'd
okay.
love to have a discussion about that with the men.
All right. We certainly can do that. All right. We're going to go. We're getting a dog barking in the background. This studio, this brand new studio, picks up every sound that there is. All right, let me go now and ask this question to Tim. Tim, I mean, why do you think women have this perception that men do this all the time?
They do.
I love that. Keep it real.
I heard that. Somebody said they do.
You, be honest with you, it does happen with men quite often. But at the same time, we
okay.
feel guilty.
Tim, you're going out.
Okay.
It does happen.
I say we feel guilty too. I don't care what happens, but we can do it, but we also feel guilty behind it as well.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You say men feel
okay.
guilty as well. When do they
feel
guilty? After the 10th woman or the 15th woman?
No,
that
well,
is
I was
funny.
Thinking more. I was thinking more like the 20th, something like that.
Okay. Now you might be right because he's feeling guilty now that maybe one of the 20 has gotten pregnant or has formed
exactly.
an emotional attachment to him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Dr. Walker, I feel guilty once they get a stalker on their hands.
That's what I'm saying. Once somebody is emotionally attached. Then he feels guilty for getting involved with that crazy one, he says. And that's a golden quote. All right. Let's take a look at some comments that have come into the studio. This comes from a male. He says, I used to enjoy being sexually involved with so many different women until it caught up with me, and now I have a hard time enjoying my wife. What do you think he means by that, Tim?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
This male, he says, I used to enjoy being sexually involved with so many women until it caught up with me, and now I have a hard time enjoying my wife. What do you think he means by that?
Oh, it's two things. Either he got caught or he got somebody pregnant.
Ooh.
Okay. And I'm thinking that he's probably not all that into his wife. Because he's probably
he's
bad lifestyle. Okay, Ms. Tsai, what do you think he means by that?
Well, it would keep down the guilt. Instead of him running around to different women, at least he can be able to focus on one woman, whether he likes her as a sex partner or not. At least the guilt, it would kill the guilt.
Okay.
And Dr. Walker, I can interject. When I heard that statement, because I have heard other people
say
something.
All right, this is my fault because you're going in and out, Ms. Blake.
We're hearing each other pretty well on the line. Can you hear me now?
I do. Go ahead.
Okay. I think what came to mind for me is when others have said similar statements to me, and when I mean that, because I talk to people all the time, and it's because they've had so much variety, so now they come back to maybe a situation that wasn't as much variety, and so now they kind of lost the interest.
Okay. Ms. Blake, that is worth hearing again. And, okay,
I'm just saying that's what people tell me, because I'm in Atlanta, I ride the MARTA, I'm talking to people all the time, and I get a lot of opinions because I'm not related to folks, and they feel free to talk to me. And what
right.
I've heard sometimes is when people have had multiple partners or they strayed outside of a relationship or marriage, they come back
right.
to their main partner or wife, they don't feel what they were feeling because they've had so much variety and things done. I'm trying to keep it clean here. They find that their main partner to be a little bit boring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, that's the unfortunate aspect. And that's why that when you're getting with someone, you know, whether it's male or female, someone that's had multiple partners, if they're being honest with you, and we've had a show about that, you know, people are not always honest. But if they're being honest with you where they've had multiple partners and have enjoyed that lifestyle, I think the best advice you can receive from them, even when they start saying that they're calling on Jesus and repenting, I'm just keeping it real right here, Ms. Blake.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best advice you do is to run as far away as you possibly can, because, you know, that person is likely to have a problem, just like this guy is saying, enjoying that one person. Enjoying that one person. And
I agree.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. I.
Dr. Walker, I do agree, because they've had multiple partners, and what Ms. Blake has said, after they have had their relationship with their wife, they're never really going to be content. And they will experience that partner probably for a while, but they're always going to use that, making comparisons. With this one,
absolutely.
This one was good, this one was not good, and they'll never be satisfied with their wife. And so
never.
They're going to go out and explore again.
I'll say this here, by the time you come back, the thing is, someone who's getting someone, you have got to be extremely careful that, you know, when you start agreeing to a relationship with someone, you've got to almost go through a biography of that person. You've got to get as much history from not just them, but from people who know them as much as possible about them, because if there's been a lot of that in that lifestyle, that can be a deadly and dangerous person to hook up with. Ms. Blake, am I on track?
Are you on track? Now, there's a flip side to that.
Yes.
People tell me they get tired of that after a while. So that's the other thing I hear. It's like, yeah, I used to do all this, but now I'm getting older. I'm tired of that. So at some point, and you can read about it in my book, The Platinum, The Goal, and the Lifetime Players. But not everybody
right.
are lifetime players.
Right. The Platinum, the Goal, and the Lifetime Players. I love it. I love it. And, you know, it's interesting because this is the reality. This is the reality because even when people, and I'm not saying that people can't change. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you got to be extremely cautious and careful when you're getting with someone out here, when it comes to a relationship, especially someone that's had multiple partners. Is your body open season for multiple sexual encounters? Part one. We're going to do part two next week. Let's take another comment. Comes from a female. And Tim, we're going to give you an opportunity at this one. Tim may not be with us. Let me go back to Ms. Sai on this one here. This female writes in. She says, my cousin used to sleep around with several different men. And now he has three kids and is not really sure who the fathers are. That is crazy, she says. Masai, what's so crazy about that? I mean, she was having her pleasure, and she had multiple partners, and she got three kids.
Yeah.
She just don't know
but
who
the consequences,
are.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is that later on, you know, those children are going to be affected, and that child may ask later on, who is my daddy? And that child may go out and try to research to find out who her real father is. And just like on Jerry Springer, when they had to do these paternity tests, and
Maury
Povich, yeah, well, on the Maury show, I'm serious, that it can be really detrimental to the children as a result of mommy playing around early in life. It will affect those kids.
So there is a consequence.
There's a consequence.
Okay. All right. Well,
it is. It's a terrible consequence.
Blake, let me ask you here, Ms. Blake. Well, should she just make matters easy for the kids and, you know, and help them out long before they begin to ask by saying, let me see if I can take these men to the Maury Show?
Well, I'll just say this to you. I'm a previous social service worker, and basically if she seeks any type of assistance, social services will find that out for her because she's required to name fathers. I've done the paperwork myself on many clients. And then social service, the states are in such dire money straits for money right now, they will go after these men and find out who the father is. Now, unfortunately, some women are dishonest about that because they try to protect the men. But if she really doesn't know, I mean, I personally have had to ask those questions in the 80s to my clients, well, who do you think it is, you know? And I've done paperwork on up to 5 men at a time.
Oh, my goodness.
That's terrible.
Oh my goodness. You know, maybe it's good my voice is out because I'm about to explode with my voice.
I've seen and heard it all, Dr. Walker. Nothing surprising.
Wow. And you know, I'm right there with you. And it's the same thing over here. There's probably nothing that would surprise me. Here's another comment. Ms. Blake, we're gonna give you a shout at this one here. This female writes in, she says, I started dating this guy that was obviously accustomed to dating several women at a time. We dated for 3 months, and he missed that lifestyle. I could not deal with him wanting several women at a time. I deserve better than that, even though I fell in love with him. It's not worth it. Now, you know, I don't think her love is gone away that easy. I mean, that's just my opinion now. I think she's still in love with this guy, and what's the chance of her going back? Let me go to Ms. Blake on that.
Dr. Walker, could you just repeat one thing? Was there any kind of physical involvement?
Well, I'm sure there was. She started dating a guy, and they'd been together for 3 months, and he was accustomed to dating several women at one time. You know, she realized that she couldn't deal with that lifestyle any longer, so she broke away from him and because she felt he deserved better than that. Even though she fell in love with him, she just says it's not worth it. And I'm thinking
I think that she can move on. It's possible. It just depends on that individual. Because typically, one of my friends who's a very good psychologist told me it takes about 3 months for people to really show you completely who they are. Of course, you can find out in 5 minutes. But, you know, by the third month, they tend to not be able to cover up who they are. So sounds like she's just coming into that period of time where she's really seeing the real person. And if she has not allowed herself to get too attached too fast, she can, you know, give him the gift of goodbye.
Right, the gift of goodbye. I like that. That'll be a future show.
I like that.
It's not original.
But, Ms. Blake, you say that all the time. Is that in your book?
No, actually, I got that from T.D. Jakes.
Okay, the gift of goodbye. All right, we'll give him a shout-out. You know, and that's about this year. I agree. You know, giving him the gift of goodbye is a very important thing for people to be able to do. And I think that that is so noteworthy in a case like that, even though you feel that you might still love them. But see, one of the things about laws of attraction, if we think about laws of attraction, you tend to, men have this charisma, and so do women. They've got a certain charm that there are certain things about laws of attraction that will attract people to you. Ms. Blake, speak on that. You know about laws of attraction. Am I off track?
No, you're not off track. I mean, and a lot of times opposites attract, as I've frequently heard. But again, it sounds like this woman or this lady, you know, has some what we call discernment. And if you see it, believe it. People show you who they are, like Maya Angelou said, believe it. And so she probably has a lot of chemistry with this guy, but she is a wise lady to walk away.
I agree with you fully. Tim, let me just ask you. Tim, what do you think? You think she's wise to walk away after 3 months, not wanting to deal with this guy, no matter how strong she might feel about him? Okay. All right. Let's take another comment here. Tim, we're going to give you a shot at this one here. We've got about 3 minutes before we bring the show to a close. This male writes in. He says, it's not just men who sleep around with multiple partners. It's also women. It seems to be a trend where people are just out there being promiscuous in their lifestyles, which makes it very hard to find the right person. Tim, how true is that? I mean, everybody's out there, everybody's doing it, they're saying.
That's the new society.
Is that
society.
The new
society is sex. But, okay. But
Dr. Walker doesn't make it right. No.
But you want to keep it real. That's being real. That's what it's about.
So we're coming down. Are you saying, Tim, that we're coming to this animal behavior where it's just, you know, dog eat dog, you know, you smell it and then you try to jump on it?
Dr. Walker, I don't appreciate you calling me a dog, but no. Yeah.
Did I just say that?
Oh yeah, we're not talking about me though, right? I'm sorry.
You said that out loud too.
keeping it real. You mean to tell me that in this society you can't find any relationships where people can be able to abstain and be able to get in a relationship under God?
You can, but it's probably 1 out of 10.
I absolutely agree. And you know, because what I'm finding, people fake it. They say they're being abstinent, but they're not.
Absolutely. That's what my show is all about. We're going to, Ms. Blake and I know, we're going to take off the gloves. We're going to go at it. It's going to be raw. And we're going to keep it real on this program. And I was interested to say that the numbers are even greater than that, probably 1 out of almost 50 or more.
That's true. Well, I was trying to be nice about it.
Right. You actually see people, even, and I would venture to say, you know, assuming that everybody on this phone and even my listening audience, those that attend church services, whether they go, whatever day they go, whatever their day of worship is, whatever their lifestyle of worship is, I would venture to say you don't even know the people that you go to church with because you only see them maybe at a certain time. But if you got, I bet you their neighbors know more about them than you do because the neighbors know their lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Am I off track? Ms. Cy, what do you think?
No, I agree with what you're saying, but there has to be a point that if people are going to church, they have to think in terms of the righteousness of God. And there has to be one Daniel among them. And if there's one that can stand above the crowd, then God bless that person because they won't be able to spread the disease. They won't have the emotional brokenness. There has to be somebody. You have this program and you're discussing it, but I'm keeping it real. There has to be somebody that's going to stand above the crowd and have the courage of God.
And you know what? There are. I know people that have been virgins when they got married. You know, I read this. Well, I'm not going to drop names, but even famous people came out and said, you know, I was abstinent for 10 years. So it is happening, but it is not as common as we want to think. I mean, we just need to take the blinders off and keep it real. It doesn't
make
you right.
Real. We're going
to
continue. I am really out of time now, you all. This has been a very good show. I hope my voice can be back some better next week so I can laugh even harder and bring more. Listen, Ms. Blake, it's always a pleasure to have you. Ms. Cy, thank you for joining us this evening. And we look forward to you being back with us on next week for part two of the program.
Yes, I would love to come back. I would love to come back again and speak on this topic. This topic is hot.
And Tim, thank you also for joining us this evening. Those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight, we apologize. Join us again next week for part two. Until then, everybody, I say good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
Take care. What's up?